Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I'm just so excited to be able to start this week off with today's guest. Oh, the weekend I do get to rest, but I miss talking to our guests. I miss taking notes. I miss learning, laughing, and sharing this information with you. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone somewhere who needs to hear this message. Maybe they're an entrepreneur. Maybe they're a small business owner. Maybe they're someone who's focused on improving their life, and they need this information. So it's up to you to go ahead and share this show with your friends, with your network, with your spouse, with your neighbors, so they can learn too. Because I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing the Roundtable Talk Show to your network, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. Lowell Sheets. Lowell is an entrepreneur, business coach, author, speaker, and internet marketing strategist. He is a marketing magician online with Sheets and Associates, a Baltimore marketing agency helping businesses to get found online with five-star reviews and convert visitors into clients for life. He is also a professional magician as the MagicBartender.com and the MagicMC.com, providing laughter and amazement at corporate, private, charity wedding, and trade show events. Good morning, Lowell. How are you?
Morning. I'm great. Wow. You've just about said it all.
Everyone says that. I don't know why. I just read what you send me. Somebody's going to send me something one time. It's like, I'm the president of the United States, and that's what I'm going to read.
Well, it sounded great, by the way. I'll just amplify that or embellish that or whatever. But I've been a business owner for about 45 years. I started with a nutrition company. I still own that company. I was doing a lot of business networking. Many of you have probably attended business networking events. And I actually was pushed into forming my own business networking group about 11 years ago. And I hired a marketing coach to teach me how to get found for this networking group online. And if that's anybody's goal, is to get your business found online, I understand that goal. It was so powerful, the stuff that he taught me, that I actually bought his business and stopped doing the networking thing so that I could help all the people that I knew. They needed the online marketing much more than they needed just another networking group. And no offense to any networking groups at all, because I still go to some. But anyway, the things I learned were just so powerful. And today I have an agency that our big goal is to, first of all, your big goal online is to get found. Once you're found, you need to be so credible that you get the first call. And the two most influential factors, first of all, for Google to show you up on the first page are reviews. And also that's the most influential factor for prospects deciding who they're going to call first. So if you have more five-star reviews and a better rating than your competition, if you show up, you're going to get the first call. So that's what we help people do. And like I said, the two most influential factors are reviews and video. So we just know how to make that happen. And actually, YouTube is the second most searched site in the world. It's the second most searched engine in the world. It's YouTube, because 80% of all online activity is watching video. Unbelievable. But so you want to be found on Google, and you want your videos to be found on YouTube and even on the first page. If I'm shameless self-promotion, but if you Google Reputation Management Maryland, not only are we on the first page for Google, but we're on with our video. So if you have a video on the first page of Google, it's a picture, and you can't pay to have a picture on the first page of Google. So it's a really great thing to do, is to get get your videos to be number one for unbranded keyword searches. So anytime you want to be found, you want to be found for unbranded keyword searches. That's the whole ball game. And I am a magician.
Go ahead.
Do you guys want a quick magic trick with my
last
minute?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm going to pick on somebody. These are my business cards. I've written a prediction on the back of this card. I've predicted your answer. So someone I've never talked to before, Molly, can I use you? Is that all right?
Certainly.
Molly, are you familiar with business, playing cards?
Of course.
Okay. In your mind, don't say it out loud. In your mind, choose the most random playing card you can think of. Don't pick an ace. Don't pick a joker. Nor the queen of hearts. Women pick the queen of hearts all the time. Don't do that. All right. You got a random card in your mind?
Yes.
All right. Like I said, I predicted your answer on the back of my card. So yes or no. Yes or no, I'm locked in. I predicted your answer. Yes or no, is your card the three of clubs, Molly? No?
Nope.
Successfully predicted your answer, by the way. I know, it's so wrong. It's ridiculous. But anyway, this is my actual wallet. You can't have it, Molly. And I've made that mistake with many women in the past, but never online. That's an interesting thing. But anyway, it is my actual wallet. So, Molly, I have a prediction card in my wallet. I won't take it out of frame. What was your card?
The Eight of Diamonds.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, that's so weird. That's so weird. Because I keep your card in my... Oh, you said the Eight of Diamonds.
I did.
Oh, shoot. So I was off by one. It's totally okay, Molly. I predicted I'd be off by one. Close enough, right? Anyway, that's just for fun. But if you search Marilyn Magician, you can find me. You can see tricks I've done. You can watch things like that. Heck, I'm the number one video for Tampa Corporate Magician, Orlando Corporate Magician, Las Vegas Corporate Magician. I'm the number one video because I know how to make that happen for clients too. So that's me.
Well, wonderful. We're going to learn more about that, learn how we can make that happen for our business as well. So since Miss Molly was so wonderful to help us, I'm going to go ahead and introduce her. She is our next guest, Molly Sperduto. Molly is the owner of Ginger Ninja Productions, a company that organizes stand-up comedy shows for fundraisers, private parties, corporate events, and community functions. A stand-up comedian herself, she puts these shows together with the hundreds of comedians she knows from her own network that she's amassed over the years, and also helps with the technical setup and planning behind her clients' events. Good morning, Molly. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm glad to be here. And again, that describes what I do very succinctly. And so to expound on it, I had started the business in 2009 officially, and I had always been doing stand-up comedy. I started I've been doing it about 20 years or so. So for any of you that are doing the math, I've been doing it since 3 years before I was born. But I had started in high school, and that was even after always having been a performer as a child, the school band, the show choir, the school plays, what have you. And I had started, like I said, I had started the business in 2009. Because I had been performing and noticed that a lot of these shows that I was performing on were being put together by my own peers in the business. I figured I'd give it a shot. And so, I was at a bar chit-chatting with the bartender one night and threw out, "Hey, I'm a stand-up comedian." And he goes, "Oh, can you put a show together for our bar?" And I said, "Sure," and then figured it out. And it was just... One big thing about comedy is the timing. And while my comedic timing is probably widely debatable if you ask anyone that has seen me perform, my timing in life has been very lucky in that I'd done this first show in 2008, about a month after I graduated college. I graduated college in the middle of the recession, where no one wanted to hire anyone for anything. And so while I'm sending my resume out to all these places that want nothing to do with me or with anyone for that matter, I'm also promoting this show that I'm doing at this bar now. And it's going all over Facebook and So people had been reaching out to me saying, "Oh, I didn't know you were producing shows now. We just opened a cafe. My brother has a restaurant. This guy down the street was looking for, and so on and so forth." And I realized that there was a demand for this. And so I kind of switched courses with my, plans for the real world and figured out I had gotten a day job for a while, figured out a way to make this business work for me in the long run. And it's always been serendipitous and kind of funny to me because as a performer, anyone in my shoes understands that what your parents, what your teachers, what most people will tell you is have a fallback, have a fallback. It's so difficult to get into entertainment. Make sure you have that thing to fall back on. And that's why it cracks me up that when the time came for me to find a job, I actually needed a fallback for my fallback, which turned out to be the thing I wanted to do in the first place, which is what leads us here now. I absolutely love what I do. I mostly do fundraisers, along with private and corporate events as well, but I enjoy it most when I'm doing what I love to help other people make money to continue doing what they love, which is helping others. And of course, in the past couple of months, we've made the switch to virtual events, which is an interesting experience. I very much look forward to the return of live events. But in the meantime, Zoom comedy is an interesting experience that I never thought I'd find myself doing, and here we all are, right?
Well, I agree, Molly, but I have to tell you, this is no offense to you, but I have never seen a more serious comic like you. I'm like, tell me a joke or something. Like, I need to laugh.
I would tell a joke, but I haven't had enough coffee and you haven't had enough wine, so we'll get there later.
Well, that was good enough. Well, I need something before the end of the show because I'm like, you're so serious. You're like telling this stand-up comedy story as if it's the great novel. Like, this seems to me more theater than stand-up comedy. And I produce stand-up comedy shows. I love stand-up comedy. I believe that laughter heals, and it's one of those things that we can all just relate to and unites us. So I need a joke before the top of the hour. I need some kind of joke or levity. I don't know if you have to sneak out and get some coffee or whatever, because my wine is always ready. I'm going to
Well,
come back.
Sharifa, I thought her first joke about when she got started 3 years before she was born. I thought that was hilarious. I love
I did too. I did. That was a good joke. I did. You're right, Lowell. I forgot about that. So you got some
that
credit for something, Molly. I'll be right back with you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Dr. Rashida Watts. Dr. Rashida, the Inclusive Community Architect, is a scholar, practitioner, C-suite diversity officer, and the founder and owner of Inclusive Action Institute, a Black-owned business that provides learning resources and strategic solutions in diversity, racial justice, and leadership. Dr. Rashida holds a number of professional certificates, including as a Compassion Fatigue Professional, Inclusive Teaching Certificate from Harvard, and a doctorate in leadership. Good morning, Dr. Rashida. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa and fellow friends. That's what I will call all of us this morning. I'm so excited to be here, Sharifa. Thank you for having me on because this panel actually represents the core of what I do, which is diversity. You have such a diverse array of folks here today, so I can't wait to get started and jump into the conversation. So, as you mentioned, I am Dr. Rashida, the Inclusive Community Architect. And what I do is I work with both individuals and organizations to provide strategic solutions that foster diverse and inclusive cultures for positive change agency and sustainable transformation. And as you mentioned, I am an active C-suite diversity officer. I'm also a speaker, an educator, a coach, a mom, and ultimately, the overarching theme of what I do is a change agent. And what I like to say is, I am committed to being an injustice disruptor. Again, I'll say that one more time, an injustice disruptor. And what I love to do is to teach folks to learn either how to find solutions for themselves or in their organization so that they can also dismantle injustice, right? Because I see injustice as toxicity. That's what it is to our humankind, to our society, and to our nature. And I heard two things that were mentioned, and only one of them comes to mind just now, but someone mentioned healing. comedy as healing, right? So when we're able to bring together humanity, when we're able to elevate that human connection, which is exactly what I do, that's when the healing can take place. That's when we can start seeing each other as the human beings that we are and really start building those bridges. So that is what I do. I've been working professionally for the last 20 years. I always say I've been doing some form of diversity and inclusion all of my life. I'm originally from San Francisco, California. So growing up at the time that I did, it was just teeming with diversity. It wasn't unusual to have a neighbor, a queer couple. We could walk two blocks up to go get Filipino lumpias. We could go across the street to get Salvadorian pupusas. It was just a beautiful place. And it wasn't until I got out of that bubble that I realized not all the world, honey, is the way it appeared to be when I was growing up. So that's what really got me started. Also coming from a working class background, seeing how difficult it was, although I was always on the dean's list, academically thriving, having to work full time while going to college was absolutely incredibly difficult. So that was sort of the seed that was planted in me to start working in education to eventually become the scholar practitioner that I am today. So part of what I do as well is to encourage others. So one of the things I do want to bring up is a new book that was just put out a couple days ago. So wonderful timing that I just authored, which is How to Build Inclusion and Allyship During Chaos. How to Build Inclusion and Allyship During Chaos Using the ACA Pillars. I will go ahead and include a link there. But I will tell you what spawned the creation of this book is currently living in Minnesota, about 20 minutes away from where the George Floyd incident occurred, the murder. Then we had Breonna Taylor's case take place. All of these things that were happening, leading an organization through healing, right? Having to see a somewhat image of myself, a Black body, and what was happening or not happening in regards to justice. That is how this book came to be. And it starts off with me interviewing two chief of police, which I did here in Minnesota. And that was an experience that really was the genesis for this book. So I encourage everyone that's interested in learning how to steps. How do I get started? Many times people don't know what to do. How can I help? How can I build that bridge? I implore you to at least start with this how to book. You can find some case studies there that will guide you through solutions. So I'm going to wrap it up there so I can give everyone else an opportunity, but I'm absolutely excited to dive into conversation.
We are absolutely excited to dive into that conversation with you, and we will be back right back with you, Dr. Rashida. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Aaron Welch. Aaron is a Marine Corps veteran who started doing small business marketing in 2000, internet marketing in 2001, and social media marketing in 2006. He has started multiple businesses, both successfully and unsuccessfully, raised venture capital and partnered with billionaire investors, grown thriving digital marketing agency and consulting businesses, and has worked in startups, small businesses, and Fortune 100 enterprises. Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. A little cold here in Austin, Texas. We just got 6.5 inches of snow. That's never happened. So
wow.
It's chillier than usual.
Yeah. See, I won't complain. I'm in Long Beach, California. So, you know, nobody feels sorry for me.
Yeah, no, Long Beach is nice. I've been there many times. Yes, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. And like you said, I've been in marketing and digital marketing for 20 plus years. This all was, brown when I started in the industry. And, you know, since then, you know, the industry has changed so much. It was much easier back when it first started. And now, you know, things have been much more complex. There's a whole lot of marketing that can be done. And for most business owners, it's just really difficult to decide where, you know, what to do, where to put their effort. So, you know, my agency, we really specialize in working with local businesses, specifically service-based businesses. You know, whether that's your local business, or we still have Fortune 500, Fortune 100 clients where we do consulting work. And we're a full-service agency, so we do everything from web design, web development, search engine marketing, social media marketing, developing content. We actually don't do video, so we'll can help you there. And we really run the gambit of digital marketing services that we can provide.
So, Aaron, you actually teach SEO and SEM, correct?
Yes, I'm an adjunct teacher at Loyola University, New Orleans. So, you know, when I started, it's so funny, it's really come full circle, because when I started, there was no education. You were figuring it out on the fly. In my first business, I was hiring people from radio because they had an idea of how digital marketing kind of worked back then. And now, you know, pretty much all universities have some sort of education platform, teaching digital marketing strategy, techniques, you know, even your basic, four P's of marketing. Loyola University, it's been a great experience so far, teaching search engine marketing, which is your paid search, as well as SEO, which is your organic search. And it's 100% virtual, so we were actually virtual before COVID-19, so it's been a really great opportunity. It's also a bit of a non-traditional path. So we've got, you know, professionals learning the trade. We've got new graduates learning the techniques that, you know, they'll be able to use in the real world and get some real world experience. So it's been fun.
One of the things as a business consultant that I've seen, and I built my first website in 1994, started my first radio show in 2009. So I've been doing this for some time. And what I have found, and correct me if I'm wrong, that people do not necessarily understand the difference between SEO and SEM. Most people say SEO, 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 but what they really mean is SEM. And people have been sold on this idea that if you SEO your website to the utmost, then all of a sudden, if you build it, they will come. Your thoughts, Aaron?
God, it is probably the number one. Other than you know, people being burned by bad consultants or bad agencies, which is the number one problem. Number two is just the confusion between, like you said, search engine marketing, which is your paid, which is your Google ads and your Microsoft ads. And SEO, which is your organic search engine optimization, and that's building a good website, making sure it loads quickly, making sure your server is fast enough where your website will load. You know, having good content, making sure that it's marked up a way that Google and Microsoft and other search engines want to have that data displayed so that they can index it and, you know, figure out a way to rank you. Especially for small businesses or even mid-sized businesses, SEO is extremely competitive because depending on what you've got, you're competing against, you know, huge enterprise level businesses with billions of dollars. And guess what? Google wants their business more than yours. So it's important to Google, hey, we're going to give these guys a better ranking because they're huge. And, you know, small businesses can really get lost showing up on page 4, 5, 6 and kind of never be found. And explaining that and giving really good examples of that is, you know, crucial in teaching people that, well, one, the internet's not a faucet. You can't just turn it on and turn it off. And number two, it's just tough. So you got to be really smart and really strategic on how you do your marketing, your digital marketing.
Absolutely. Aaron, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Kim Saltarski. Kim has spearheaded the production of over 400 hours of inspired, original, animated, and live action family comedy, and documentary content. His journey documenting the world of patients helping patients with medical cannabis began with his melanoma stage 3 cancer diagnosis in April of 2015. After treating himself with medical cannabis and plant-based medicine, he has been cancer-free ever since. Directing, producing Jack's Garage is his way of shining light on endocannabinoid medicine, destigmatizing its use, and deep diving into the science and the politics behind it. Good morning, Kim. Thank you for joining us. How are you? Kim, we heard you earlier. I can't hear you, Kim. We're losing Kim. So for the people on the podcast, just tune in. We'll be with us because we're losing Kim, but we're going to get Kim on momentarily. No, Kim. Might want to take the.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay. Hey, sorry. Whoa. I was just trying to get all that extra attention by doing my silent pantomime. Didn't work. I apologize.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. So I was just saying I'm thrilled to be interacting with everybody, and it really spoke to me the human connection Dr. Rashida spoke to. So what I'm sharing today is my personal that merged into a professional story. And that's from, you know, working away, living a really fulfilled life. And then whammy, I get the big cancer call. I had a little mole here on the side of my temple that looked innocent that turned out to be melanoma stage 3B. And that's just something you really don't want to have inside your body. So what happened to me almost very organically on my journey while I was waiting to have a surgery to have it diagnosed, I met a friend of a friend who mentioned using medical cannabis to eradicate cancer, or at least, you know, beat it back into the woods. And back then I hadn't really thought of it. I'd used cannabis recreationally in the 70s, but it really wasn't part of my life. So I'd heard about medical cannabis, but it didn't make any sense. So when a friend of a friend said he had cured himself of lung cancer and melanoma, I paid some attention, did some research. So I started doing ingesting the cannabis and turning to a plant-based diet and really looking at alternative ways besides what Western medicine was offering. And I had my surgery that confirmed I had cancer. Luckily, I got it so early in my diagnosis, had not spread anywhere in my body. So I'm one of the super lucky ones. I had no negative side effects. And throughout my journey, I went and did this intensive cannabis therapy, looked into plant-based medicine, all the things that promote cancer, that feed cancer. I eliminated them from my body. And then through that, as a filmmaker, once I sort of came on the other side and go, wow, look at me, I'm still thriving, feeling better than ever, and I want to maintain this for myself and my family, I decided, how can I pay it forward? And so I did it by starting some documentary movies and interviewing other people about their journey. So I'm just really kind of thrilled to share that. And it culminated with a documentary I released in October called Jack's Garage. You can see it at jacksgaragedoc.com. It'll lead you to YouTube, where I put it for free for anyone to see. And it's also available on Vimeo on demand for $2 to watch. So I'm just sort of excited to share my story. And I've sort of, through this world, learned about the power of really self-empowerment to look at yourself, how we ultimately are responsible for our healing. And it's not just cannabis, it's not just diet, it's also eliminating toxic relationships and all those things from your life. So that's sort of kind of my story. And so I shine the light on other people, and I'm taking the time to shine the light on me today.
Wonderful. Let's shine that light on you today, Kim. Let me just ask you this. Too often when people have medical diagnosis, we don't know what to do. We're afraid of making the wrong decision. Our doctors say, well, take this pill. And then other people will say, well, all you need is medical marijuana and that will heal it. What was that decision-making process like for you?
It was relatively easy. Because somehow the people that came into my life, they had nothing to personally gain. They weren't like, hey, you know, buy this snake oil. I haven't used it, but it's going to be really good for you. So I was lucky to have my mind open to that and do research. And I found out that, like, in 1964, Dr. Raphael Mesholem in the University of Jerusalem in Israel had discovered THC. And then in 1992, an American and a Czechoslovakian doctors working for Dr. Mesholem at his clinic in Israel had discovered our endocannabinoid system. And that is the medical basis of why cannabinoids, including THC, from cannabis and CBD, CBN, CBG, all the other compounds affect our body. So I realized it was based on science. And then I looked at diet and the other things. And then also I had a look at my life, what was causing stress. Stress causes cancer. And for me, I think it was caused by 10 years of insomnia from having young children, going into older children, going into work and craziness. So for me, it came relatively easy, but interviewing so many people who've been on this journey, it does not always come that easy, because sometimes we don't have the information and we feel powerless that, well, we just have to go to the doctor. They tell us something, we have to obey. And that's not necessarily the best path I would recommend.
What has been the response to the movie?
It's been great. People are really touched. And so the story centers around Jack Kungle, a man who was 65, who had bladder cancer, and for 20 years was hooked on all types of pharmaceuticals to deal with chronic pain. So he was pretty much hunched over, not living any quality of life. He had such allergic reaction to the pharmaceuticals that was keeping him alive. He had vomited so much, he'd lost all his teeth, he had broken his ribs. And then he had finally discovered cannabis. And within 6 months, he got off morphine, all his pharmaceuticals. And a year later, by adding a clean diet to his regime, not just cannabis, he eradicated a terminal bladder cancer thing. And so he's been going for 10 years. And he basically lives in a small town in Southern Ontario in Canada. And he welcomes people into his garage and shares his story. And he's helped heal thousands from around the world by sharing his story and his protocol.
Wow, that is powerful. I want to go over to Dr. Rashida for a moment. There was something that Kim mentioned, and I saw it in your bio as well, Dr. Rashida. And people have been talking about this whole COVID fatigue that's going on right now. But you mentioned you are a compassion fatigue professional. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so what's interesting is folks tend to forget or not highlight the importance of mental health, right, of self-care, particularly during these times that people are on lockdown. So many folks are isolated. And then we see so many human losses happening either within our families or friends of families and just the world at large. So fatigue can really settle in. And what I do, the reason I got both the certification as a compassion fatigue specialist is understanding racial battle fatigue, right? And for me, and seeing the different folks, whether it's employees, students, different people, human beings that I encounter, I see an overlap. And what that overlap is having to continuously deal with all of these external sources. And in this case, we're talking about COVID-19, but all of these external sources that are truly impacting one's psyche and one's physical body, right? And psychological as well. So at this time, especially at times like these, I want to encourage folks to, for example, Molly's comedy shows. This is a time to find spaces and places to lift up your spirit, right? Times to connect with others, times to check in with others as well. I encourage you to be aware of how symptoms of isolation, mental health fatigue can look like depression, so that you can check in on your friends, check in on your loved ones, see how they're doing, because this time has been phenomenally like no time we've ever seen before. So, you know, when it comes to compassion, this is the time to show compassion like you've never done before.
Yes, absolutely. Molly, you're helping the world, and it may not seem like it's that important, but during a global pandemic, people are hurting, people are anxious, people have COVID fatigue. You are providing a gift to the world. Do you see that? Have you been told that, Molly?
It's very interesting to see, especially on the Zoom shows, because just like you're saying, there's so much that's been stripped away from people. And to have access to entertainment, even if it is like, this is my studio right here, this is where I perform. It's in a spare room of my house that's under construction. And right behind you guys is a wall of just rolled up insulation. Like, that's who I'm performing to right now. It's not fancy. And what's funny is that, like, last December, not this past one, I was performing and putting together a show for a Rotary Club, and the president of the club owned a car dealership. So they used their space, unconventional as it may be, for their show. And there I was performing in the maintenance bay of a car dealership going, this is the craziest my life is ever going to get with this business. That changed in a year. But I digress. My point being is that even with the, you know, the unsophisticated nature of having a Zoom comedy show, people not only seem to enjoy it, but you see a look of comfort in people's faces too, that they have this access to the creature comfort of having entertainment. And even beyond that, there's an added level of novelty to it too, where they get to enjoy a comedian who's talking practically at them at times while they're, you know, on their couch with a glass of wine and their cat. So it's experiencing it in a way that they haven't had to before, in some ways for better, in some ways for worse, but people seem to be focusing on the better and appreciating it for what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Lowell, how has the Magic Arena been?
Very different. My last live gig was March 7th in Washington, D.C., where I was the wedding reception magician for a very large wedding between two doctors. And that was my last live gig, March 7th of last year. So I do Zoom meetings, Zoom events, gigs. I've done them for charities to raise money, like for local even bars and restaurants to raise money for their employees when things were really, really closed down. And I can do live Zoom meetings with magic and comedy, which Molly, we definitely should talk. I would love to become a part of what you do at some point. So I do magic and comedy, and it's very interactive, even though it is a Zoom meeting. So I will interact with people who are watching, and they're choosing cards and doing things kind of like we just did. They can even have their own deck of cards. And we'll both have our own decks, and some amazing things will happen even long distance like that, which is a lot of fun. But that's the goal of my magic, is to bring wonder and amazement and lasting lifetime memories, and if we're in person, often souvenirs, but to people, and just to brighten their day and brighten their lives, because that's I love people and I love entertaining them, and it's a lot of fun for me. I have the most fun at my shows.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Now, we're talking about COVID fatigue. Aaron, have you experienced that? Have you looked for other ways to be more outgoing, to have fun and just enjoy life?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, other than, you know, watching everything on Netflix and like Netflix saying, you know, you're done, stop.
I've never seen that message.
Well, between myself and I have two young daughters, we've watched everything. but virtual meetings, virtual events, and you know, I've worked remotely, for more than 15 years now, in some form or fashion, whether it be on a global team or just providing services, not in my own backyard. So I've been, kind of a video conferencing, long hauler at this point. And God, it is so, like, the difference between picking up the phone and talking to somebody and being able to physically see them, even if it's through a screen. Mm-hmm. The human connection is so much more real. I mean, while you're not in person, you see the look on people's faces. You see whether they're distracted or not. We're visual creatures. So being able to see, I'm talking and you're nodding your head. So you're hearing what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. It's a different level. And it's so important, especially since we're all, isolating, hopefully.
Yes. Now, I just want to ask, because I'm nosy, that's why I host this show, is you mentioned Netflix. Did you feel a sense of guilt? Because I remember one day I was just watching Netflix for like the whole time. And then I said to myself, I said, Sharifa, you cannot just lay here and watch Netflix all day. And then Sharifa said to Sharifa, but it's Saturday. You know, and I was like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? And it, but it, there was this sense of guilt that you have to be doing something. You have to be productive. You have to be up as opposed to just relaxing and just enjoying life. Can you relate to that, Aaron?
Oh my gosh. When COVID really started, you know, end of March, April, I found myself, you know, because we had the kids at home, you know, we were figuring out virtual school, you know, and one of my daughters is four. So we had, you know, preschool, first grade, trying to figure this out. I'm running my business. My wife's working from home for the first time. I, you know, would end up working through the night, like literally working until 5, 6 a.m. and then trying to catch up on sleep because I felt guilty about not putting in the time. And of course, you know, I was a mess. Like that, you know, that totally wrecked my mood, my attitude, you know, living in close quarters, you know, everybody was kind of very anxious. And I'm somebody who has, you know, suffered from anxiety and deal with anxiety every day. So that didn't help. And yes, I actually absolutely feel, even this past weekend, even now, like it's a snow day. And, you know, like I feel the need to be doing something. As part of my bio, I talk about starting businesses successfully and unsuccessfully. Well, my unsuccessful business was started and run out of, I need to be doing something. Instead of taking a moment, relaxing, like you don't have to be productive 24/7. So sitting on the couch and just relaxing, that's a form of self-care. You know, as long as it's not like everything, then it's not. But taking some time to unplug and not try to be doing something, it's crucial. It's the difference between actually being productive and being busy.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree.
Sharifa, can I speak to something that Aaron mentioned?
Absolutely. So
thank you for sharing that, Aaron. And one of the things that caught my ear from that diversity and equity portion, right, is understanding many of the women, including myself, that now have to work from home. And we have little ones. I have now just turned a 9-year-old as well. And one of the things that we're saying that research is showing us is the gender inequities that continue now even in the household. So many women, okay, the division of labor is still disproportionately affecting and impacting women because now that the women have to stay at home, a lot of them not only have to show up, right, and show out in the workplace as far as Zooming online or whatever they have to do, but they also have to take on the majority of the load of parenting. And that is just leaving so many folks, when we're talking about compassion fatigue or COVID-19 fatigue, that is creating such an impact. So thank you for joggling that a little bit for me, Aaron, because I do want to remind folks as well to whether you are a business owner, a colleague, or again, friends and families, create affinity groups and create spaces where women can find a place to even just talk. Because sometimes, I don't know about you all listening in, but sometimes we just need to talk about the kid who doesn't want to do homework and I have a meeting. So...
I can definitely relate. I can definitely relate. Kim, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting. I found out, I knew this about myself, but I really discovered in this last year of the lockdown, I sort of burned out almost working so hard because I had less distractions. I love comedy. I love going out to concerts. My wife and I, and the family, we love travel. All those things went away. And to me, it's like, great, I just get to work some more. And one of the bounties of that is I was able to finish Jack's Garage, develop a myriad of other projects, do writing assignments. But at a certain point, I really relate to Aaron, where I realize, God, I need to slow down because I'm working 6-7 days a week. I'm still managing home, interacting, being the best sort of husband and dad I can be. But I did have a realization a couple of months ago, I need to pull back because I don't have those other outlets. So personally, I did some self-care and I signed up for a Qigong exercise class, and that's really grounded me. I belong to a swim club, but we're not able to swim for the last year. I took up running again. So I have to force myself to recognize, a lot of people are like, maybe feel lost. I had the other thing where I feel I had to do more to make use of this time, and I lost balance. So I do relate to that, and it's all about balance.
I can relate to that as well. I remember a few months ago, it may have been about 6 or 7 months ago, I saw this post, and it wasn't even a post that I'd written. It was a post that I had shared. And it basically said that if you're not using this opportunity to better your life, then you're missing out on the opportunity of the lifetime. And I got so many comments that were like, no, Sharifa, let people be. Some people have been working for 30 years and this is the only break they have. Some people just want to lay on the couch. And if that's what they want to do, that's okay. And I didn't look at it from that perspective because my persona is always go, go, go. I'm more like you, Kim, like go, 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 go. And I'm like, well, you have the time, do something with the time. But there are people who just needed to kind of veg. Yeah, Molly, definitely. What have you been up to? Were you vegging? Were you productive? Did you create that new stand-up comedy skit?
What's actually weird for me is that my downtime took a turn that I did not expect it to. I had always been, even outside of stand-up comedy, I'd always been into everything creative, acting, theater, singing, and everything went away when COVID did because everything that I did was event-oriented. And I, without realizing it, needed a creative outlet. So I might have gone a little crazy. So where there's, for as much insulation as there is in this room, downstairs in our living room, there are tons of boxes from Joann's and Michael's. I'm like, I want to learn how to crochet and knit and sew and make jewelry. A craft store exploded downstairs. And it's kind of nice because it gives me that creative outlet. And it also is just a really nice way to wind down at the end of the evening because I too am a giant ball of anxiety where I now have this routine at night where I'll make something for an hour and then I'll get ready for bed. And it's one of those things where even when life goes back to normal, I want to still try to keep that part of my routine in because that's just such a good way to quiet the mind, whether I'm dealing with trying to keep in business in the events industry afloat during an event killing pandemic or managing the day-to-day of an events industry business when, you know, events are normal, which is both of them have their fair amount of stressors involved. While there have been a number of ways that I've been trying to figure out how to keep comedy going, I think that is my biggest takeaway from this whole thing.
So let me just ask you, Molly, because if my downstairs had exploded with all these arts and crafts, I would have not completed anything. I would just, it would be like 300 projects I started and nothing finished. Are you completing these projects? What's going on with your projects?
I kind of have a very weird and overly specific little routine in place where I'm like, I'll rotate between, I'll do the crochet project this night and next night I'll work on the cross stitch project and next night I'll work on the jewelry project and like kind of have a set and again, unreasonably overly specific schedule, but I'll have one project that I'm working on in each category so that I always go back to that project until it's finished. But since I'm working on several things at once, I don't get bored from doing the same thing day in and day out.
Yes, I get bored very easily, let me tell you. Now, I want to go back over to Lowell for a minute because we talked to Molly about what she does and Kim and Aaron. What do you do aside from magic to just kind of help you get through this time frame?
Well, I've been very blessed. I work from home like Aaron and so many others of you anyway. So I have 5 full-time employees. They all work from home. So nothing changed in a very dramatic way for us. I'm newly remarried 15 months ago. So we had a great time at the pool, like all summer, just hanging out. And we traveled for our anniversary to Mexico, all inclusive. It was a beautiful, amazing thing. That was December 3rd. And it was so good. and the prices were so good, we went back 2 weeks ago. So, so we've been traveling and doing a lot of things, but yeah, we've spent time watching movies and reading, and I'm actually studying stock options and things like that. I am trying to take the time to improve myself. I've lost 15 pounds in the last month and a half, so I'm pretty excited about that. But I needed to desperately. a lot of people have that same feeling, but I love what Kim's doing, how it's helping people. I definitely want to talk to you at some point, Kim, because I have a client in an emerging industry in that industry, but something very, very different. And it's going to be hugely powerful. And his story is powerful. And I think you should know about him and the industry and what he's doing. And anyway, it's just, it might be a good click. Aaron, I'd love to whitelist some of the things that we do in video for your company. And maybe there's something you do that we don't. This is fun. I'm already checking out Dr. Rashida's book. And anyway, Molly, I'd love to help you as well. I couldn't find, Molly, your Facebook page for your stand-up comedy business. Do you have one?
Yes, it is facebook.com/GingerNinjaComedy.
Ginger Ninja Comedy. Okay.
So you're the ginger ninja. I take it from the hair.
Yes. Yes.
I love it. That's fine. Kim, what are your thoughts on working with Lo?
Absolutely. It's weird because as we're talking, I'd always just been stick to stand-up comedy. And so for that reason, I've always done just comedy shows. But Lo, you're not the first comedic magician to approach me. And honestly, I have gotten, it's not the first time that someone has, on the client side, has reached out to me for asking if I knew any connections to magicians. So one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is I should figure out a way to start offering that more on the regular.
I think that's wonderful. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Kim.
Yeah, well, I guess for me, it's just a reflection of my personal journey and the absolute privilege I've had of having so many people confide in me and share their healing stories. And when we're in a healing crisis, it's one of the most powerful and intimate and personal things we can do. Like, I personally chose not to tell most of my friends I had cancer when I was diagnosed. That was my choice. I didn't want to have that be part of the conversation. I didn't want to have that identity. That was my choice. Other people need to reach out and get that immediate feedback. And luckily, I have a great support group. So for my eternal family. So that worked out for me. But as I've gone through and become a confidant, the healing whisperer, as it were, to have people confide in me, and I've made two documentaries, Jack's Garage. And then I'm going to release another one in a couple months called Mend with Dignity. And that stands for Mother Earth's Natural Design, which is another story of a bunch of people up in Northern Ontario who took back their healing power through cannabis and diet and right-mindedness and learning how to make their own medicine. But what I've really learned throughout all of this is that there are ways we can take back our power. And it's not just with the physical healing. It could be emotional healing, like Dr. Rashida spoke of empowerment, and also talking about enlightening us about inclusion and how to understand that better. So for me, I'm just excited for everyone to go out there, ask questions. Is something you're confused about, challenge it. Challenge me about what I'm saying. Cannabis can really help with a modality of so many healings, but also realize it's not just a plant that's going to do it. It's not just your diet. You have to look at all the things that are going on emotionally, and you know, you can do that. So I'm just thrilled to have been sort of living that and telling stories. And Lowell, I'd love to definitely connect with you, because my partner and I are now putting together a list of candidates, because we want to do a big series or a feature and sell it to Netflix or Amazon to continue these alternative healing stories.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you, Lo.
Our goal is to help clients get clients. I have a nutrition business, so I have a total love for what Kim is doing. And I believe in that so strongly. And basically, we've worked with companies from Annapolis to Australia to help them get 5-star reviews from their happy clients. So we coach companies how to get reviews. We give them tools and strategies to use online, and then we market with those reviews because they're just that powerful. One company, they went from 8 to 38 5-star reviews in 30 days. Another company in the property management industry, which is like the lost luggage department, it's where people complain to your HOA association or your condo association. They went from 85-star reviews last February to 500 Google 5-star reviews in 9 months by November. So it's just a powerful program, and it makes all the difference for businesses. So people can check out, I put it in the comments section, my Rock and Review page on Facebook. And I also put in the Ginger Ninja comedy page on in the comments for Molly. And if anybody needs help in promoting, I would love to help you or just give you some advice. We do a 15-minute free consultation just to show you where you're at and where you could be. And Aaron, best of luck. Sounds like you're doing awesome stuff. And anyway, it was great to be a part of this. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lowell. Aaron, what do you have for us?
Well, I realized that I didn't mention the name of my company, which is crazy. What kind of shameless self-promotion is that? Lyft Digital Marketing, that's LIFT, Digital Marketing. That's my agency. You can find me at AaronMWelch.com. Again, we're a full-service digital marketing agency. I do digital marketing consulting work. We work primarily with service-based businesses, lots of accountants, lawyers, IT services companies. That's really our, and SaaS businesses. Love SaaS businesses. So that's really our sweet spot with full service. And please, if you're a veteran business owner, especially myself being a Marine Corps veteran, we give veteran discounts to veterans, obviously. The goal is just, I really enjoy helping businesses, expand, helping businesses, get new clients, because that's literally, all we're focused on, and making connections. So Lowell, we are absolutely going to talk, because you're right. Customer reviews are one of the biggest, most important things that any business can get and display. I'd love to connect with everybody and see if, partner up somehow.
Aaron, are you in St. Louis, Missouri?
No, sir. I'm in Austin.
Awesome. Okay, that's right. You said that earlier. I was going to share the wrong Facebook page in just a moment.
So I know who you're talking about. I'm trying to deal with those things.
Yeah, maybe share your website in the comment section at least now or afterwards.
Yes, absolutely. Lyft-digital.net, and I will share that in the comments.
Awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Molly, what do you have for us?
So one thing that I didn't touch upon in talking about the switch from live shows to virtual shows these days, there have been two advantages, major advantages that I have found to doing virtual shows. One, obviously the commute, because nothing beats saying, have a good night, guys, going downstairs and plopping on the couch. And the second thing is the idea of being able to expand my business in a way that I didn't expect. So I am based out of New Jersey. And so for that reason, most of my live shows that I put together are throughout the state. And, I could go into New York, Pennsylvania, some of the surrounding states, but it does limit you geographically because it does not make sense to fly 3 New York comics out to Colorado to perform when they could probably just find some local performers. And with the rise of the virtual event, one of the holiday parties that I did last year was for half the audience was in Belgium because it was a global company, which was one of the coolest things. And so really there's no limitations anymore. And so for that reason, it's just become exciting to see how far I can actually expand and who I could work for that I never imagined I could before. So for that reason, if you're out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the country that has no access to any major city and you really want a comedy show, this is now your time. You can get anyone from anywhere.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Molly. Dr. Rashida, what do you have for us?
Yes, so I am committed to delivering transformational results. So you can certainly find me at inclusiveactioninstitute.com, where you can find a variety of learning resources. I also offer consultations. You can also learn more about the ACA pillars, which I encourage you to think about when you're thinking about developing strategic solutions, either for yourself as an ally or for your business. And what those pillars are awareness, courage, and action. What does that mean and why did I come up with them? Well, a lot of people have good intent, right? But intent doesn't equal impact. You can have the best of intent, but you can really harm someone, cause pain, and you may not have been aware of it because, frankly, you don't know what you don't know. We all fall in that boat. We all have blind spots. So when it comes to awareness, courage, and action, the key takeaway I have for everyone listening in and here today is that in order to be an effective ally, the only type of ally that there is, you must be action-oriented. If you just think you're a great person, but you're not taking action against injustice, in essence, you're not an ally. So you can pick up my book, How to Build Inclusion and Allyship During Times of Chaos, which again, you can find the Kindle version on Amazon. I'll also include a link so that you can find ways that I can support you as well. I'm so looking forward for the opportunity to do so.
That was beautiful. You were speaking and all I kept thinking was the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So yes, I definitely agree. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. Doesn't mean we don't still need your support, because we do. I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing the show. But as always, I ask that you don't just watch the show, that you don't just share the show, but that you support our guests. Our guests are here this morning in order to share their journeys and to be authentic and to share their information with you. So please support them. Their website links are in the comments definitely today. Thank you, Lo, for all of your help. But their websites are also in the Facebook post above. So visit their websites, follow them on social media, reach out to them, connect with them. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.